Hallelujah. So praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And by the grace of God, we have been following the journey of Paul. And we have just seen in Acts 27 where they have gone through this shipwreck. You know, they had so much trouble, 14 days without food, fasting, and, you know, being tossed by the wind. But then Jesus comes and tells Paul that, you know, that none of them shall die, that they shall, although they will lose their ship and their cargo, but God will preserve them. And God is able to preserve 276 men. And so now when these men are preserved, then they are able to run aground on Malta, which is an island. And this is where we're going to see the conclusion of Paul's ministry, because remember, he had purpose to go to Rome. So they have had a terrible journey going to Rome, and eventually he's able to reach in Rome, and the book of Acts ideally ends without a conclusion. And that is the interesting thing about the book of Acts. And one of the things that we say about the book of Acts is that the book of Acts is awaiting your chapters and is awaiting your additions, because it ends in a way where Paul is still doing his ministry, is unhindered, he's still preaching and teaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. But of course, church history tells us that Paul was eventually killed in Rome. He was crucified, but the book of Acts does not give us that account, because it is believed that the book of Acts is concluded just when Paul is still a prisoner, but he is having some form of liberty. However, why we say the book of Acts is not completed is because it gives us for Rome to also do the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Disciples, and each of us has a role and a chapter to add into it. Some will be a line, some will be chapters, but all this is a work of grace. It is God who shall help us to add of these chapters to the book of Acts, but just let us know that God expects us in the same way that we have seen how the disciples, ordinary men, were transformed by Jesus to become extraordinary through the Holy Spirit, and they did all these acts by the Holy Spirit. We too, if we submit ourselves to God, we shall be able to do the same. And I loved one of the statements that I had. Someone was preaching, and he was saying that every time he will see the book of Acts, he tried to remove the supernatural aspects of in the book of Acts, and there was no chapter that did not have any supernatural aspect. And he said, and if this is the pattern of the early church, then that means that this is the expected pattern of believers, that God really expects us to live in the supernatural, to believe in him by faith, to do mighty miracles, signs and wonders to those that believe. And even when now they're shipwrecked, we see Paul is attacked by a snake. And maybe let's read Acts 28, verse 1. It says, now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and hastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, when they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, but after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, let's just pause there and see what is happening. You see, we know that they have just been run aground, they're shipwrecked, and you can imagine they are wet, and then not only are they wet from the water, but they're also it is raining, and not only is it raining, it is also cold. And the people were kind, they made for them a fire, and Paul, of course, along with others, gathers a bundle of sticks where he can lay them to the fire. Now, one of the things you'll realize that among the sticks that he picked, there was a snake, a viper, and we know vipers are poisonous. And for me, it just reminds me of the book of Genesis, where Jesus said, where the word God tells the woman that the seed of the snake will bruise the heel of your seed, and then the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. So we can see this viper jumps out of the fire and fastened on his hand. And I believe that fastening is where it is biting him and holding on to his hands. So you can imagine what happens when fire comes. And metaphorically, you can think of, you know, what happens whenever we, you know, we do the works of God. It attracts attacks. It attracts certain issues from the places of darkness. And fire, whenever we light up a fire, it is what reveals snakes, and it is what reveals issues and works of persecution and all this. And when Paul lit the fire, then the viper appeared. But you see, God is God. And one of the things that we see, even when this happens, Paul does not even seem to need to pray or even worry about it. He had a word from God. Jesus had already told him, "You will bear to me witness in Rome. And he knows for a certain that he is going to testify in Rome. So whether the snake bites him or not, it will not do anything. You know, and this is also what we are told in Mark 16, verse 16, where it speaks of the signs that shall accompany them that believe in my name. You know, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak in new tongues, they shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover, and they shall, you know, take up snakes and, you know, and anything, and they shall not be harmed. And even any poisonous thing, if they swallow it, it shall not harm them. So this is really a manifestation of that promise. And Paul takes up that viper, throws it into the fire. And these people were in their conclusion. They're like, no, we expected him to die. And they concluded, yeah, because remember, the ship was full of prisoners. It had the soldiers, but also the prisoners alongside which Paul was being taken as a prisoner all the way to Rome. So they expected that if this is a ship of prisoners, then the person may have been a murderer. That is why even justice does not allow him to survive. But you see, the same people who thought that Paul was a murderer, they condemned him, or the same people who concluded that he is a god. And that is why they were like, oh, then they changed their mind. And now verse 7, in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we parted, they provided such things as was necessary. See what Paul does. Paul carries on to do what God has called him. He is a prisoner on his way to Rome. Now, in the island, they still need for healing. They still need for him to reach out to this population. And what has he done? He hears of the leading citizen, the Publius, whose father is sick. He goes and look at the order of the things. The Bible tells us that he went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So for me, what I was looking at is that it's, you know, when we're told the prayer offered in faith shall make the sick person well. You know, call the elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer offered in faith. So what is key here is that he prayed. He prayed. And after he had prayed, he knew that God had released the healing grace on his hands. And then he laid his hands on the man, and the man was healed. So there's always a pattern to these things that, you know, and if I think there's this, one of these guys, I think he's G.L. Lewis or something like that. I forgot an exact name, in South Africa, where there was a plague and they would go and, you know, and heal people, and they will go and take care of the sick, those who are the plague, and none of his team actually got sick. And so scientifically, they wanted to prove and ask themselves, what what is the secret and what is it happening with this man that they handle these sick people from the plague and they're not getting, and they're able to, you know, provide help and they're not getting affected themselves. But then the secret that they mentioned is that what this man will do with his team is that they will pray in tongues until they will feel the anointing is on them. And when the anointing was on them, then they will go and, you know, handle the sick, those that were in the plague, and then they were not affected. And he even, you know, went and under a microscope after he had prayed, and then they put some of the viruses on his hand and the viruses died. No, that is just a demonstration that it is a prayer that activates the spirit, activates the supernatural. And when we see that, then we can be able to see how there is an order to certain things that God gives whenever we are healing the sick or whenever we are praying for the sick and miracles. Either some will pray, others will worship God until the presence of God will come. And then when the presence of God comes, then there is the activation of the gift of the Holy Spirit to result in the healing. And that's why when Jesus used to say the power of God was present to heal the sick, that means that the God manifested himself in that very moment to heal the sick. Now, the most important thing is that this healing was not just for the sick, but in many ways it offered an opportunity for them to preach the gospel. So these people, the Malta people, in as much as they received the blessing of Paul, they also honored the apostles, the Paul and his companions and the other soldiers in many ways. And when they departed, they were provided with many things that as was necessary. Verse 11, arrival at Rome. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. And from there, we circled round and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and we invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, the brethren heard about us. They came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and 3 inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Verse 16. Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." Now, let's just take a pause and see what is happening up to there. So we can see that after they had stayed on the island of Malta, and you know, they had healed the sick and they were honored and they were able to go, when the wind came, they got another ship, and this enabled them to go all the way up to Rome. But then now Paul, once he is in Rome, remember, he was not a full prisoner. Inasmuch as he was going, there was no written charge that was necessary for him to be charged with. Remember, even Agrippa and even Governor Festus struggled to see or to write what to write. And so that is why when he reaches Rome, he is not put in prison under the captain of the guard, but he stays in his own home, but he has a soldier that guards him. And so now he calls the believers and he tells them that for sure the reason why he is arrested, it is because of the hope of Israel, of which I am bound with this chain, because the Jews wanted to kill me. Verse 21, then they say to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. but we desire to hear from you what you think for concerning this sect. We know that it is spoken against everywhere. So, when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. And when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit rightly through the Isaiah, the prophet, to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him or unhindered. So Paul, by the grace of God, is able to go to Rome, and we can see that he now calls for the Jews who are there, and he tells them, look here, I was sent here by not because I did anything deserving of death, but it is because of the hope of Israel. And this is why I am speaking to you, proving that Jesus is the Christ, and he uses their Old Testament, he uses the law of Moses and the prophets. And you can imagine, from morning till evening, he would preach to people daily. But what was the outcome? Some people believed, some were persuaded, but some disbelieved. That means, you know, disbelieved is no longer about just having unbelief, like you don't believe. It is actually hearing it and refusing to believe it. That is disbelieving. Understanding it, seeing its truth, but still yet rejecting it. And that is why he said, because he told them the truth, they could see it. And he tells them, now, this is now the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, where God had told him, go and speak to these people. You will preach to them. They will hear, but they will not understand. They will see, and they will not perceive. They will have hearts that are dull. Their ears will be hard of hearing. And he says, lest if they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. God is basically saying that, you see, there are people who will keep rejecting, keep refusing the gospel, keep refusing the word of God. But God says at any time, if they turn and hear, God will heal them. God will touch their hearts. God will heal them and turn. So it is our role to keep speaking. And you see, Paul carries on with that same message. And he keeps saying, since you guys have refused, just know that I have been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear the gospel. And you see, it caused commotion among the Jews, because to them they expected the salvation message is theirs alone, but this will not be the case. And eventually, what does it say? Therefore, let it be known to you that salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. So, how does it end? Paul stays 2 more years, 2 whole years in his own rented house. He receives everyone who comes to him. He preaches the kingdom of God. And this is the same message that he has been preaching from the onset. He teaches people concerning the kingdom of God, concerning Jesus. And then he tells them with all confidence, no one forbidding him and unhindered. This, as I said, the book of Acts does not really end with a conclusion of the death of Paul, or it does not end with the conclusion of what happened after this, but it is more of like Luke wanted to show us that the gospel could not be stopped. The gospel went ahead. It moved forward. And even Paul, in his last days of life, he still preached to the people, but church history tells us, unfortunately, he was crucified. crucified in Rome, and because of the emperor and the Caesar, who was not happy with the Christians because they were creating a new Lord, and they considered the Lord to be Caesar. So all in this, one thing we can sure, that said earlier before, we have a responsibility to also add our inputs to the Acts of the Apostles by our lives, by what we are doing today, by the impact of the ministries that God has placed in our lives, by the impact of the people that we serve, even the needy. Remember, even the deacons, it was just waiting on tables. But that waiting on tables is what grew into more and more responsibilities for the kingdom of God. Like Philip, he eventually becomes an evangelist. He eventually has even four daughters who prophesy. We can see that lineage carrying on and bearing fruit and indeed representing the kingdom of God. Sadly, as the scripture tells us, not everyone will believe. Not everyone will accept it. Some will agree, some will disagree, some will disbelieve. But all in all, God says, in as much as there is a message that they will hear and they shall not understand, they will see and not perceive, if at any time, if they turn and see, and if they turn and hear and understand, the Lord shall heal them. I pray that God will give us more insight, and I pray that this book of Acts has been a great blessing to you, even as you studied it, and that Lord will help us even to go back. And as I said earlier at the beginning, each of these things that you see, each of these manifestations that we see in the book of Acts is a call to us to ask God, why don't the same also happening in our lives today? When we see how, you know, Stephen is carried, you know, and he moves from one place to another, and Philip is carried, you know, and he moves from one place, found in Azotus. When we see of how God speaks to people, God, they communicate to God, visions, dreams, angels coming, all these are available even for us today as we believe and depend on Him. It's not that we seek these things, but the most important thing is that we seek God, we seek Christ, and it is Him that chooses the way that He reveals to us. So I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us more insight into His word. My brother, you're welcome, as God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. No additions.
No, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace and power. The Lord, it has been your mercy. It has been your favor. It has been your grace. You have helped us. You've directed our steps. Thank you for the life of Paul, that indeed we're able to see how you rescued him, even in the midst of challenges, in the midst of trouble and a shipwreck and even a snake attack. The Lord, you already had established a word that he shall go and testify to you. And we can see the end result of that, that it doesn't matter what comes or what attacks come, that he's able to reach the place that you have called him to do, O God. And I pray even for your people and your children, that they continue to look unto you, that you shall preserve them, protect them from the hand of the evil one, keep them in your grace, in your power, and your wisdom. Remember our children, watch over them, sustain them. We pray for those that are sick. We pray for a word of healing over them, O God. We commit your mercies into our lives this day, that indeed everything that we do may be ordered and guided by you. We pray all this in Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen. 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 Shalom. Blessed, blessed day ahead.